薄いのアホ。
プリズムタワーメイクアップカードレ
ディー。 Welcome to Shoujo and Tell, where we discuss shoujo manga and tell who's hot and who's not, discuss themes, and just generally geek out. Today we'll be discussing the second half of Maid-sama, so that's volumes 10 to 18, which is the end. I have a cat now. I'm your host, Ashley McDonald, and I'm back with Asher Softman once again.
And I do not have a cat.
Well, you should get one.
No, I really should not.
All right, so I would like to reiterate that, just initially, that, you know, if you haven't read Maid-sama or you've only watched the anime, you should not listen to this episode because we will spoil so many things. All the things. It will all be spoiled.
Literally everything. Nothing happens in the first 9 volumes.
It's true. That's what I learned. Oh, damn. So, like, yeah, you can listen to the first, even if you haven't read it, I would say you can listen to the first episode and, like, nothing will be spoiled because nothing happens really of importance in those volumes. They're just fun, I guess.
They're fun and cute. And then the next 9 volumes happen, and it's like, what just happened?
Okay, wait, pause on that. We'll get. I slightly disagree.
All right.
And
all
two,
right,
I'm going to reiterate that you can buy Maid-sama from Viz in North America. As of this recording, oh, I guess I forgot to say the date. That's what I forgot. Today is what? August 17th?
Yes.
2017.
No, today's the 18th.
Correct. Okay. Whatever. I don't know. It's the 18th. Sure. Why not? August 18th, 2017. So it recently finished publishing. I think it finished officially 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And I live with somebody and am in a romantic relationship with somebody who works at Viz. So, like, maybe I have a conflict of interest. But I loved Maid-sama since, like, 2009, so it doesn't matter. go buy some physical volumes, some digital volumes if you need to save some monies and space. That's smart. Anyway, so as we discussed, the first 9 volumes don't have anything of significance in them, but I guess we should recap them.
they establish the characters and they establish the relationship. And there's lots of uncomfortable sexual harassment that actually falls more by the wayside in these 9 volumes. But I guess we should recap the actual plot. Misaki is a high schooler. She hates men because her dad ran off on her family and left them in tons of debt. So she works part-time at a maid cafe. And she's also student council president at a school that was formerly an all-male school and is still in the process of transition. And it's gross.
It is.
It's a gross school. And she's...
You don't want to go there? I don't understand.
I do not want to go there. I mean, beyond the fact that I would never go back to high school.
I'd go back to high school.
Why?
High school is great. I don't know.
No. Well, parts of high school were okay.
Exactly. I like those parts.
I just realized the high school I went to was pretty much just Miyabigaoka.
Oh, we'll talk about.
We'll talk about. Oh, yes, I'm sure. We're going to have a very interesting discussion about that, I'm sure.
Oh, boy.
Right, so she's in Misaki is in a very interesting position where she doesn't want anyone at school to find out about her part-time job because she has a reputation to maintain as this scary demon president. Then there's this guy, naturally. His name is Usui Takumi, and he is, you know, that guy that everything comes easily to him, and he's bored of life, and he's 17. I love exactly. Talking about this stuff being 10 years older than the characters. Like, looking back, you fool.
You silly fool. I had a revelation today where I was like, is Usui PETA? Like,
what?
Isui and PETA don't have any other thing that they like except the girl that they like, kind of. They bake. Like, they're blonde.
I... No. They are not the same at all. You just want everything to be the Hunger Games.
Everything is the Hunger Games. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right, so Usui finds out Misaki's secret and decides this is the best thing ever. And...
He's not wrong. He's...
Usui is very rarely wrong.
That's what's great about him, right?
No, what's great about him is how funny he is.
Okay.
When he is wrong. I like when he's wrong. We discussed that last time. And he decides that he's gonna, you know, just kind of attach himself to Misaki because she's interesting. And he ends up falling for her, and she resists falling for him for a good, 6 volumes?
Yes. Then it takes another 5 for them to become a real couple.
Right. Right. So yeah, the series is 18 volumes long, and it did take until volume 11 for them to actually start legitimately dating, which is, I like that. That's realistic fantastic. Development. Yeah.
It takes them 17 volumes to call each other by their first name.
Even that felt rushed.
I know, right? Tsukumi is not his name. That's not a thing. I don't believe that.
No. I got used to that since Hinata's been calling him Takumi since, like, they met.
Because he has no respect.
Right. When did he come in? Volume 5?
Something like that.
All right. It doesn't matter who Hinata is. We don't have to explain that.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, in volumes 1 through 9, where we left off was, like, Misaki was like, I guess I like Usui, but they weren't a real thing, and she had a birthday.
They were avoiding defining the relationship.
Yes.
They were definitely a thing. So. They've been a thing since volume 1. Just saying.
Okay, sure. They've fine.
They've at least been, you know, the golden pair since.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're the dynamic duo who can do anything. Because they're great.
I can't believe it took the rest of the school that long to figure out that they were together. Like, even the student council didn't realize. They see them
together.
Okay,
it's true. The student council is like, really?
Student council, foolish. Silly, silly people.
Yes, so the general arc of these volumes is they get together for real, but then... Like, you don't really learn anything about Usui in the first 9 volumes. Now you get all the Usui and some more Misaki, and just everything gets thrown at you.
Yeah.
It's kind of actually all happens in the last 4 volumes, kind of how it feels.
No, no. Having read all of it today, it does start in volume 10.
Amazing. I could never read all of it in a day. That's disgusting.
It was really tough. I must say. I cut it down past the wire, guys.
You were like, I regret my life decision.
But it was actually a very enjoyable read. I feel like the writing got a lot better in these volumes. Maybe it's just because there was so much less sexual harassment.
I definitely think we'll talk about generally how we feel before we go into more, like, step-by-step big crap that happened. Yeah, I generally think that it definitely got better. Again, as I pointed out at the end of the last batch that we read, I thought it got better at being a manga in terms of, like, it has more spreads. It's not all just, like, cluttered everywhere. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say that the spreads are, like, amazing spreads, because they're normally not, but, like... It's helpful for reading purposes.
Yes.
I genuinely really did like the first couple volumes that we read for this. Like, them revealing, like, Misaki being like, yeah, I'll be your girlfriend. I'm like, yes, I love these chapters. I reread them so much. I'm trash anyway. Anyway, so yes. So then I really think those things are cute. Definitely think the last 2 volumes get real rushed and off the rails.
Oh,
and, like,
yeah. Especially the last one.
As soon as Misaki goes to England, I'm like, oh my god, what is going on?
Yeah, yeah. That was not handled, like, super well.
There was legitimately points where I did not know where things was happening.
And yeah, there were some weird time skips as well. The last volume, when she comes back from England, actually, was much more confusing to me. It's like, what is happening?
When she comes back with Usui and then they just go back.
Yeah.
Being in high school, but then she's like, I just study all the time.
Well, I got lost in time. It was suddenly Christmas again. And I was like, didn't we just have Christmas a volume ago? Two volumes ago? So.
They've just been studying all the time. It was boring. They had to skip it all.
I guess. But it was, yeah, the last volume in particular was just very lacking for me. But also, it's not really an arc, this chunk of this half of the series was much better than I remembered it being, and I'm wondering how much of that had to do with actually having a real translation.
Oh yeah, no, definitely I felt that too. I was like, you know, I thought this whole like second half was just like really garbage, but it's not. It's only like the last 20% of it is garbage.
Yeah, it was actually pretty good.
I definitely think it helps to have a real translation and not be forced to read scanlations.
Yes.
That made no sense. I mean, the writing is definitely just bad points. It's even worse when it's not translated well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Viz. I love you.
Yes, thank you, Viz. Thank you for rescuing this work.
Yeah, it's interesting reading all the author's side notes and it being like 2013.
Oh, it was really weird reading the one from 2011 talking about the earthquake.
Oh yeah.
It's like, whoa. It's like I didn't realize this manga was this recent, actually. I guess it's already 2017.
It's already 2017 though, yeah. Alright, so now we're definitely going to spoil all the things. So seriously, don't blame me if you keep listening.
Yeah, get out of here. Get out of here.
Alright, so I listed out what I thought were key moments. Perhaps you don't think they're key moments. I don't know, you read it all in a day. It all just blurs together.
No. Yes, it does. but no, these seem correct.
Alright, so first off is revelation of Usui's brother, Gerald.
Right, oh, and Gerald. During his introduction, they actually never use his name. You find out his name in, like, the author's comments on the side.
Oh, is his profile the first thing that
I'm pretty sure his
name?
Profile, or she called him Jerry in something, and I was like, who's Jerry?
Who's Jerry?
Pretty sure it just, like, did not say his name. Anyway, his name is Gerald.
Yes.
Gerald Walker.
Do you love him or not?
He's all right.
I thought his intro was super weird with the apple thing.
Yes. He is, in general, a weird character. But he's, like, you know, genuinely a good guy, but also, like, he's got the same sort of a good guy, but super weird and kind of problematic thing that Usui's got going for him. Except we don't see him as often, so we don't really understand why people like him so much. But he's, like, he's doing his best.
And he's sick with some unnamed illness. They don't name it, right?
No.
No, because that would be too hard.
They would have to research.
Usui comes up with apparently a miracle cure for this.
I don't think so. I think he just has a really good treatment plan. It's not the same thing as a cure. Because at the end...
I thought there was a line that's like, he came up with a cure at the end.
Oh,
pretty
okay.
Sure that's
a lie. That may be true. I rushed really fast through the end.
And I'm like, uh-huh, okay, sure. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It seemed to imply he was also still treating them, because he was like, if I'm just gone for a week, they'll be fine.
But still, it's clear that, like, I'm like, really? You managed to come up with a cure in the... How are you even a doctor? It's only been 10 years since you graduated high school.
Cool. That's,
that doesn't make sense.
No. That's actually... Oh. Right. I forgot college. I didn't factor college in.
Yeah, he'd have to go through at least, like, 8 years of school.
Yeah.
Oh, and he came up with a cure in the 2 years after that?
Well, I mean, if he was focusing on that disease even through school, you know, as one would suspect he might. But,
I don't buy it.
I mean, yeah, no, it's ridiculous. But we didn't come to Maid-sama for realism, did we?
Well, not about these things, no. But, you know, I don't like it when it's so lazy. It's real lazy.
I can't believe his grandfather was still alive. 10 years later, his grandfather would have been 91.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure the implication, I mean, I guess the implication is that they have the same disease.
Yeah.
And Usui came up with a cure for it, but like...
Yeah. How many hereditary diseases with a cure? Whatever. Whatever. I don't care.
Well, don't think about it. Well, okay, so yes, they all have hereditary diseases, but I kind of... I know that this isn't how it works, but it also frustrates me that, like, you know, in the Usui's parents' backstory, mm-hmm. it's explained that his mom has only, like, 6 months to live. Then she gets hooks up with Takumi's dad.
Yes.
Has child while super sick. And I'm like, oh, but Takumi's the one who's totally fine.
Right.
Screw this.
It's probably because he isn't inbred. It's a problem.
There is that. But, mm-hmm. like, that's the only part that makes it make any sense.
Yeah, no. He should have been... Yeah. He should not have survived.
Precisely.
All right.
He also is the one who... He is... Usui is 3/4 Japanese, correct? And 1/4 British.
Yes.
But he has He's the blonde, blonde hair.
Yes.
And green eyes, I think.
Yes. Yes.
And Gerald has black hair.
And I believe he has blue eyes.
Okay, well, that part is allowed because he is...
He's 3/4 he's the reverse. British. Yeah.
He's 3/4 British and 1/4 Japanese.
Look.
Look. Listen, I'm just saying, individually, maybe I could take one of these things, but when they all pile on like this, I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, yeah. So that's Usui's brother.
That's Usui's brother. He is fun. He's funny.
Yeah.
He tortures his butler.
His butler likes it, so whatever.
His butler likes it. Does he?
He doesn't stop him.
Because he's a butler and he's subservient.
Ugh. We gotta talk about that.
Oh, no.
We gotta talk about Cedric, Maki, and Tora's fiance, actually.
One of those things is not like the other.
But yet.
Oh, but yet. Maybe they are.
We've got a lot of power dynamics to talk about.
All right. So, yes, so Usui's brother comes to Japan to try to get Usui to go to England because he's sick. So he wants Usui to take over castle thing that they live in England.
Or he at least wants Usui to be able to.
Right.
Yeah.
Usui's very resistant to this. And in the midst of, so there are other agents sent, one of them being his butler, Cedric.
Yes.
And the teacher, Miss Miyazono, is that her name?
Yes.
Sure.
Maria
How
Miyazono.
Do we feel about Maria?
How do you solve a problem like Maria? Oh my god.
That good, eh?
No.
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 Even worse than those sounds?
It would be super, super great if LGBT characters were not portrayed as predators.
Yeah. And I also kind of feel like she was not needed.
No, she wasn't.
She was a very superfluous character in the end. And, like, her and Seti are doing the same thing, but yeah. Kind of, like, she undermines him because she falls in love with Misaki.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's just kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so they're the two agents who are trying to thwart the next big thing, which is Misaki finally being like, hey, Usui, I love you. And then Usui going all like Han Solo on that crap and being like, I know. What a nerd, dork. Shut up.
To be fair, she's not exactly subtle. But I was proud of her for getting it out.
We're all so proud of Misaki. She has feelings. Sometimes she can say them. Sometimes. That's great.
Every like once a year.
Yeah, like once a year, she's like, I'll be I'll tell it to you straight. I kind of want to kiss you. Otherwise, get away from me, perverted alien Uzi.
Yep.
I really love the confession. I'm not going to lie. I love the scarves. I love everything.
The scarf was really cute. That was a cute scene. I think that was the first time we saw Misaki initiate a kiss, too.
I think is it the only time we see Misaki initiate a kiss?
Might be.
I'm trying to rack my brain. I feel like it might be.
That's a little troublesome.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's fine.
Power dynamics don't matter.
Because she confesses and then is like, yeah, I needed to do this. But then in most other things, she's just like, well, now we need to keep it a secret at school still, or I'm just studying all the time. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah. Honestly, I kind of felt for Usui there. I was like, that is kind of hurtful. Annoying.
What a jerk move, Misaki.
Most of the time I'm with Misaki, but once you get to the point where it sucks to be kept a secret.
Yeah. I also have to say that while I do not particularly love Sakura and Kuga. No, I love Sakura. I don't love Kuga. That's what I meant to say.
Which
I
think is everybody's feelings about that, except for Sakura's and Kuga's. I think Kuga likes Kuga.
Sometimes it's hard to tell. Yeah. I really like when they go to the hot spring together. One of my favorite chapters.
Usui and Misaki are super cute in that chapter.
I know! It's so good!
Like, and then they're, like, chilling in the hot spring, and they're, like, kicking their feet, and I was like, they're really adorable.
I know! I was also like, I think you're not supposed to kick your feet, but that's okay! Do it anyway, because it's super cute. You nerds. Yeah, what else is super cute about that? Their bus ride, they hold hands.
The hat.
Whatever, train ride.
The hat. It's like one of the key things I remembered about Maid-sama before.
Usui's before bad rereading hat.
Was actually, it was that hat and this Hot Springs episode in general.
Yeah. I also love, even though this isn't actually a cute moment between them, I love when Kuga's like, don't you get jealous when someone you like is with some other person? And then Misaki's mental image is Sakura, yes! Someone I like. Usui, other person or whatever. And I'm like, yes.
Yep.
So yep. Hilarious.
Like, I don't blame Maria for falling for Misaki, but also just no.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. But then it got weird and creepy, especially, like, I didn't remember that Misaki has the dream about Usui, but, like, in that dream isn't...
Yeah.
Maria naked or something? Like, what's
she
happening?
She starts undressing, yeah. And I was like, all right, Misaki's having a sexual awakening here, but it's not the one I want her to have.
I know, right? I was like, oh.
I wish she had more, like, female friends that are actually into things that she's into.
Yeah, I guess so. It's very confusing because you're told that Shizuko and Sakura are Misaki's best friends, but then they also don't, like, they've never met Susanna until Susanna goes to school with them.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
well,
okay.
It makes some sense. Like, I'm sure Misaki doesn't have people over often because her house is always falling apart.
I guess. I just feel like I've had friends who are also like that, but I'm like, I never, like, didn't, like, not meet your sibling. Like, no,
yeah,
we didn't hang out, but, like...
Yeah. And it's like, they don't act... The three of them actually have, like, nothing in common, and their conversations... Their conversations are always about boys.
They are. And yet I still, like, my secret favorite character is still definitely Sakura.
I wouldn't have expected that of you.
I know! It's also confusing.
Interesting.
I look at what's because she has the moment, too, where the boys are, like, making fun of Misaki having no femininity.
Yeah.
And then Sakura is like, no, Misaki's plenty feminine, I guess, when they're on the school trip or whatever.
Like, honestly, like, they should have dated at least a little. Definitely better than Kuga.
I know, right? I totally would shift Misaki and Sakura.
Right? Like, you know, if she ever needed a break from Usui in those 10 years, you know?
Yeah, they just need it. They're like, they need a break. Mutually need a break. She needs a break from Kuga. It's a, I'd support it.
She needs to break up with Kuga.
All right, we'll get there.
I don't understand him. What is his problem? Anyway.
He's a pop star.
Anyway. I don't care.
I don't care. Anyway, so now, unfortunate timing, Misaki's confessor love to Usui. They start dating, boyfriend and girlfriend. Then Usui's like, lol, I'm gonna transfer to Miyabigaoka.
That's a horrible name for English speakers to pronounce, by the way.
I am surprised I can remember. Like, there was a solid 5 years of this being my favorite manga where I was like, I still don't know what that school is called. Oh. I think ever since we do the Digimon podcast, too, and there's a Gaoka in that.
Yeah, there's really Hikari Gaoka.
Exactly. Now, now I've got it.
Yeah. But Miyabigaoka is harder to say.
Yep, and you're all just going to have to forgive us because we're not that good at Japanese.
Yeah. Sorry, my Hebrew's better.
But I don't know. I feel like in general, I mean, the plotting of this story gets worse and worse as we go along. So at this point, yeah. It's like, okay, Usui, I'm going to buy that, like, you're transferring to Miyabigaoka at this point. Sure, like,
it was not well explained.
I don't even, what was the explanation?
The explanation was that he was going to give in to what Gerald wanted, because Gerald wants Takumi to, like, you know, live up to his potential as a rich person and right. learn rich people things. So he's like, all right, I'm going to go to Miyabigaoka, and this means I get to keep Misaki. If I give in to this, they won't bother me about this.
I see. Okay. So this is, right, I guess we should explain that this is the beginning of the game of power dynamics between Tora, Usui, Misaki, and Gerald, I guess, where Gerald's like, no, I want you to come to England and potentially be the heir. Tora's like, I want to get in with the Walkers because I want to be richer than I already am.
Yeah.
Misaki's just like, just give me Usui, losers. Like,
right.
And Usui's like, ugh, what path can I take to get Misaki, but still also maybe do these other things that these people want me to do?
Yeah, didn't he like only decide to go to Miyabigaoka after he found out about Gerald's health?
Right, yeah. I think that, because he was like, why are you all bothering me now?
Right, it's like, y'all didn't want me around before, I was gonna go and be a nobody.
He's like, I thought I was doing what I was supposed to do, and then they're like, the situation has changed. And then, you know, I guess Usui has a heart, so he's like, okay, fine, I'll do some stuff for you.
Right.
I guess the issue is that the plan continuously backfires from here on out.
Right. And also, so many more characters are introduced, and it's like, I can't keep track of these people.
The transfer to Miyabigaoka facilitates the introduction of, like, at least 5 new characters that are supposed to be vying for Usui's friendship. And again, they feel fairly superfluous, except that they come in for a later plot point to help Misaki.
Right. And, like, really only one of, like, if it had just been one character, it would have fulfilled everything they needed. If it had just been the toy maker's daughter, would have been fine. But no. I feel like Fujiwara was going for a longer story and just didn't have it.
Yeah, I would be curious to know, because, I mean, it's always shady even with, like, much bigger shonen series, right? Like, what really happened with Bleach? Like, what is happening production-wise with these things? So I'm like, did it go down in popularity and then they, like, made a rush the last couple volumes?
That's what it feels like.
I don't know that for sure, but, like, that is what it feels like.
But it's really hard to tell. Yeah. She could have gotten tired. She just could be maybe not that great a writer, which is, you know,
which is plausible given, like, other things that have happened.
Given the other 18 volumes,
like, just as a whole, it's kind of like, So, I think it both could have suffered from the problem where it's, like, it's very clear, you know, she's, like, it started off as a one-shot and then,
yeah,
you know, she continued it into a bigger story that obviously became more popular. It's So I think it both suffers from, like, there was not as much plotting in the beginning, and then perhaps at the end she had plotted too much but had little time to do it, and then
yeah,
that's just a mess.
yeah.
It's still a fun mess, but a mess it is. Nonetheless.
Yes.
Yeah, so Usui transfers. Misaki obviously is like, Misaki's actually pretty good about it, considering. She's like, I'll go along with this plan, I guess. I still get to see you, that's fine.
She's like super tsun about it for like 2 minutes, and then she she owns up, and yeah. It's better after that.
Right. And so that's all fine. We get a bit of the crazy side characters.
None of them are important.
None of them are important. It's annoying because one of them is like a weird, crazy, creepy, beauty-obsessed man who like beauty rapes girls, basically.
Yeah.
And he basically, like, in chasing down Susanna, Misaki's sister, makes her pretty for a second, which then facilitates Hinata finally like noticing her as something more than a friend, which is annoying, but fine. I'll leave that relationship over there for later. So Usui's at Miyabioka. They still see each other, particularly since Usui somehow still works part-time at the maid cafe.
Not as much as he used to.
Not as much as he used to. But then, because he doesn't work there as much, they need a new person. / they've always needed this new person. Yeah. So,
how did they get Misaki's away with father, that?
I don't know. No. It doesn't make any sense. It's one of the many things that doesn't make sense. So Misaki's father returns. Again, actually feels like a rather superfluous plot point.
Yeah, it didn't need to happen. And then it changed some things drastically about how, like, we understand Misaki's family situation. And yeah, I actually didn't appreciate it.
No. I would have been perfectly fine if we never knew what happened to him and he didn't come back.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't understand the lie. Like, why? I mean,
it feels like something she probably had planned from the beginning. Because, like, that's a Chekhov's gun situation. You have the absent father, so, like, you got to use him at some point. But I didn't like it.
I guess, but like, yeah, you it's basically, you know, you're given the story that Misaki's father ran away and left them with this huge debt. The twist in the end is that it was his friend's debt that he took on,
right?
And his friend had fled the country, so he goes to try to find his friend. This backstory is given like literally 4 pages.
Yeah, and you find out that like their mom has been lying to them about this and telling them it was his gambling debt to make them hate him. And, like, that's not something I imagined Minako doing. Like, that seems very out of character. And I think Fujiwara really just wanted this guy to be sympathetic. And I don't appreciate it. I don't want to feel sorry for him.
It's set up. You're actually given more, like, Fujiwara tries to set up more why Minako did it. Because, like, it doesn't feel in character, I guess. So it's just, like, you get these explanations of her being, like, okay, you can leave the country and try to find your friend, but understand that, like, the consequence is going to be that I'm going to purposefully undermine you. And it's, like, what?
Yeah.
Why?
It was weird. Really didn't like it.
Yeah, and then in the end, like, Misaki doesn't really make up with him within the span of the manga, so I don't really feel the point.
Yeah.
Because, like, he keeps semi-recurring, and she's just always like, your opinion does not matter to me. Like, bye.
Well, I actually appreciated that she never did make up with him. Didn't want her to.
I mean, that's fine. I just think it would have been, she wouldn't have forgiven him if he hadn't come back, so why bother?
Yeah.
It did give us a great, like, scary Misaki face that I really liked when they first reveal that it's their father.
Yeah.
It was great. I love scary Misaki. Okay, so now the situation has somehow escalated to Usui has to go back to England for reasons. What are the reasons?
He decides to go to England because he wants to tell his grandfather to his face, like, he's basically going over Gerald's head. He's going to, he knows his grandfather doesn't want to see him, so he's going to go and talk to him and be like, I don't want any of this, buzz off, and go back to Japan. But Gerald traps him, basically. Like, literally, actually, traps him in a tower.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Usui's family lives in a castle.
It's called Raven Castle.
Raven Castle. They are the Rachesters.
Yeah, when I first read that, I was like, is this supposed to say Rochester? No, it's an A. Okay. Rachesters. Great name. So then this is where all the confusing power plays start coming in, because then Misaki decides that she does not want that to be what Usui does initially, right? She's like, I actually want Usui to be accepted into that family.
No.
That was her initial thing that, like, Tora convinced her of.
No. No, that was later. She initially goes because Usui stops answering his phone. She's like, yes. All right, something happened here.
I mean, the problem is that the power dynamics keep shifting. So it's like everybody decides something and then they're like, wait, other people have outplayed me. So like...
Right. She decides that to get Tora's help, she will tell Usui not to botch whatever. But I don't know if she ever actually intended to go through with that. It's unclear. Okay. She doesn't get a chance to.
I mean, she doesn't get a chance to, but I actually thought that was a genuine motivation.
I think she did feel that way once she got to England and saw that so many people were hopeful about him. But she was so conflicted about it that I don't think that was her intent going in. Like, her main thing was getting to Usui and breaking him out.
I guess I interpreted her trying so hard to, like, learn snobby things and English and dancing and whatever as a sign of her genuineness towards that, because I feel like otherwise she would have just been like, whatever, this is, because like in the end those things don't matter, right? like she goes and does not have to do any of those things,
right? I don't know, you could be right. I think that part was so poorly written that kind of doesn't matter what her intent was.
Nothing matters. That's what this manga is about.
Yeah. It was something.
It was something. So in England, while Usui's trapped in a literal castle, in a literal tower, you know, he gets to learn his parents' true backstory. Because again, this is a thing that was kind of a lie that we were told. The initial backstory is that we're given his mom traveled a lot and met someone in Japan and had an affair. That's the initial backstory that we're told from Usui to Misaki when she's initially prying into his life, finally, after like 9 volumes. She's like, wait a second, I don't know anything about Usui. This is the first thing she asks. So that's what he tells her. It turns out that is not true. The real story is that Usui's father was an attendant at the castle who was Japanese, basically.
Yeah. He was of Japanese heritage.
And again, he does not actually hook up with Usui's mom until she is very sick. But somehow we
until she's dying.
Until she's dying. And then she's like, you know what I always wanted was you. Like, YOLO.
Quite literally.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what happened, right?
Pretty much.
It's just facts. It's a pretty standard, like, she had an arranged marriage but really wanted to marry the butler, like, story.
Yeah.
That is obviously supposed to mirror what is happening between Usui and Misaki.
Right.
Because, lol, like, father, like, son, except, like, mommy.
Yeah. It's funny.
Anyway.
Cedric's dad says that he resembles both his parents, which I thought was kind of nice for once.
I know. Good job, Usui. Because where did Gerald come from? Is he either of his parents?
Yeah, he wouldn't have been like either of them. Well, I guess maybe a bit like his mom, because he's kind of like Usui. And Usui's very much like his mom.
I don't know what to think about Gerald. He likes apples and smoking, so, you know, apple a day keeps the doctor away, and then you smoke and you die. You negate the effect of your apple. I don't know. That's what I got out of Gerald. Anyway, so while Usui's reading his mom's diary, Misaki, again, is, like, learning how to ballroom dance with Tora, and Tora's being a creeper and is being like, you know what, Misaki, I like you romantically. And somehow Tora becomes more of a legitimate love rival than, like, Hinata ever did. I guess because Tora's more pushy, right? Like,
I disagree with that statement.
Really?
I don't think she had any interest in Tora.
I agree with that mostly, but I feel like there are moments where she's like, maybe Tora's not so bad.
I don't think...
And then he immediately breaks them. But like,
yeah.
Oh, Tora. Anyway, so Misaki's just using Tora to get to England. And
right. Which, you know, English go Misaki.
Go Misaki. Way to use that rich person. So then they go to England, and this is where everything starts getting real off the rails. Like, she goes to England, and their first attempt to break Usui out of the literal tower that he's in is fly a helicopter with her in her maid outfit. As they fly past, like, I don't even know, try to grab him out the window?
No,
like,
no, she was going to land. Okay. She was going to jump off, and I don't actually know.
What the hell was that plan, though? There was nothing else.
It was a great plan. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. So this is literally the beginning of... This is literally the beginning of volume 17, I believe. Okay, whatever. It's in volume 17. So again, we've only got two volumes left here, and this is this is their grand plan. Is, and it doesn't work because obviously. Then they just go to the party that's supposed to be happening. That's like a revelation of Usui
right.
to the world, right. And they're just wandering around, and they were like, maybe we can just. Wander in, but then like Misaki's like, I want to be alone for a second, and then of course like Gerald finds her and she runs away and gets chased, but then puts on a different maid outfit because duh.
So how would you solve anything besides by being a maid?
No, that's the only solution ever in this manga. So she dresses in a maid outfit that matches actual maids at this castle.
Right.
And then makes it to Usui's room, but then is, like, overwhelmed by being near Usui that she can't speak, and, like, overwhelmed by the situation of, like, oh, people actually really like Usui here. Maybe he's needed. What am I doing? Like, why am I trying to do this?
Right.
And then she decides to jump off a two-story-ish thing, which doesn't work out well for her because, I mean, jumping off of four stories didn't work well for Usui. He ended up in the hospital in volume whatever 2-1.
Yeah, I think that was 2.
We'll say 2, somewhere in that vicinity. Usui jumps from 2 stories though. He's got that. He's no probs. And then because they've caused such a ruckus, the grandfather comes out and is like, "I hate you. You're not a person to me." Is that a legitimate summary of what has happened? Because, you know, it gets real confusing here.
He's like, I refuse to recognize you as a member of this family, yeah.
And, Duke, like, of course,
Duke.
Because
I can't believe. That's ridiculous.
Wait, why?
A duke is a very high order of nobility. It's ridiculous. Dumb.
Maid-sama YOLO. Yeah, so then, like, of course he refuses to recognize... They've made such a spectacle of themselves. It's, like, actually rather ridiculous. Like, I really hate this arc. This arc is the worst. This arc is garbage. And then, yeah, they leave England because, of course, they do. I guess before that is when they get on a first-name basis, though. Yeah.
It's, like, they're literally...
It's the last day that they're there, or whatever.
Yeah, like, he calls her Misaki after he jumps, he follows her off the roof, and picks her up and calls her Misaki.
Right, and then they have, like, almost sexy times in a hotel room, but then Tora comes in and is like, we're gonna play the game of life all night, and I'm like, yes! That's the one good thing about this arc, is this ridiculousness. It was great.
I'm glad you enjoyed that.
I enjoyed it immensely.
It was a game of life so hard that none of them won, ever.
Exactly. And Misaki was, like, so into it that she's like, what, it's morning already? I don't understand. Totally over trying to kiss Usui all day. So then they go back to Japan, and they go back to being their schmucky schmuck high school, which is fantastic. And then, I don't know, Misaki tells everybody that she's a maid, finally, which is, you know, I guess that just had to happen.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Like, weirdly done.
Oh yeah, wasn't the premise that, like, they were hanging out, Sakura and Shizuko, for once, were hanging out with boys from Seika. Yeah. Their high school.
You remember Miyabigaoka, but not Seika.
It's harder for me to pronounce the E and the I thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Didn't know that.
Yeah, so they're hanging out, and then I guess they, like, stumble upon Maid Latte and go in, and they're like, this is weird, and then Misaki's working. They're like, oh no, we have to hide it, because they're wearing their uniforms.
Right.
And then Misaki's like, no, don't hide it. I'm the best maid. I'm the best.
It was it didn't belong there. It should have gone earlier.
Oh, totally. And then, okay, see, I think when I had read this in Scanlations, I was always very confused. I think I always assumed that Usui was, like, going to be the legitimate heir. And that Misaki had to study so hard because she was like, I need to be equal to Usui. But that's, like, not really how it comes off.
Yeah. I think that was the impression I got from the scanlation, too. And I think in this translation, they tried to make it more vague. I think because we don't have any guarantee that Gerald's health is going to hold out. So, like, right. Usui's just... I think Usui decided... still in high school, that, like, okay, the way out of this is fixing Gerald.
So I gotta become a doctor.
Basically.
Amazing. Yeah, because, like, he goes and he's a doctor and he fixes Gerald and that's fine, but, like, he's still not accepted. And then Misaki is just, like, being the most Misaki she could be. Being like, I have to be the best.
Right. I think she did, having been in that world and having been so, like, out of her depth, yeah. I think she did want to step up. So I think it was a mix of wanting to stay by Usui's side and also, you know, like, not let him win.
Misaki, you've made a foolish mistake. Anyway, they get married happily ever after. Woo!
Woo!
I kind of feel like, should we talk about ships here?
Sure. Kinda,
like, flows that way. Okay, so let's talk about who all got happily ever afters here. I got a list.
You got a list.
Obviously, Misaki and Usui.
Yay.
Although, I'm kind of like, really? Really, though?
It's sort of...
Their life is...
sort of unbelievable.
So hard. They had a long-distance relationship for 10 years, I guess. I don't know. Whatever, man.
It's doable.
Good for you.
It's doable.
Good for you, Misaki and Usui. I mean, you make a great power couple.
It's true.
Round of applause. I guess the other legit couple that's always been there is Sakura and Kuga. We hate Kuga. We still hate Kuga. We wish better for Sakura because Sakura is great.
It's true.
Sakura is that friend that you have that you love to death, and they always make, like, some weird, horrible decisions, and you're just like, why though? And you don't want to tell them that they're wrong because, like, that's not helpful. And, you know, like, maybe I'm just projecting my own friends.
I was just like, this sounds like people in your life.
Exactly. I will not name names. But now, so those were the only two that were, like, really ever... Okay, well, no. Susanna and Hinata start getting... I guess we can talk about them now.
I guess we have to.
I guess we have to. Okay. So Susanna and Hinata end up being a thing, and that's kind of weird.
It's pretty weird. But, like, I support it. Because
do you?
I support it because it's what Susanna wanted.
It really is what Susanoo wanted, but that's also weird.
I suppose.
I guess that's not that weird because, like, they were all three mutual friends, and Misaki has always been like, I don't like you to Hinata. So, like, I guess that's fine.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, what I'm saying is I don't like love triangles when the siblings are involved in it.
Yes. Ordinarily, that would put me off. But they also always really got along really well. They're the ones right. that have all the weird inside jokes.
They are. I guess it always just felt like, you know, like...
It's like he's getting second best.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like that's fair to Susanoo, but she wanted him, so, you know, whatever, I guess. I don't know why she wanted him, but he's, like, a decent guy.
He's a good guy. It's just... Yeah. Narratively, Hinata and Susanoo are not given enough time to... Like, Hinata is not... given enough time to be converted to Susanoo is basically the issue here.
Yeah.
And they do get their subtle moments, but Hinata, until the very end, insists that he'll always love Misaki. That's why it's weird.
Yes. It is weird. But, like, also, thank God he finally gave up.
Thank God he finally took Susanoo's. Now they can all be related. Yay!
Yay!
I don't know how to feel about these things. All right, who of these other losers should be talked about next?
Can we talk about...
Who you want to talk about?
Well, I was going to ask about Kuretatsu and Erica.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was just so random.
It's pretty random.
I think Fujiwara is just like, this was my headcanon all along.
Well, I think she was like, okay, one of these guys has to get together with someone we recognize. And Erica is the fun mean master, so she'll be good for Kuretatsu because he's an M. I think that must have been her reasoning.
Great. I don't have any strong feelings about that relationship because
it's very strange.
It's very strange. I think the other one that we found slightly problematic was Honatka and Aoi.
Yeah.
Which, upon rereading it, they did have moments, so I was like, okay, this is not as out of the blue as I remember it being, but...
did, but she's... How many years older than him?
At least 6.
Mm.
And so it's 10 years later, so she's...
No, they have canon ages.
Yeah. I can't remember what her canon age is.
I'm looking it up.
I guess Aoi at the end says that he's 25?
That would make sense. He was 14 when we started.
Right, because he was 14 when we started, then years have gone by.
She was 20 when we started.
Okay, right. So I was right.
So she was 31.
Right.
Anyway, she met him when he was in middle school. That's creepy.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying that, like, before I was like, this is totally out of the blue. Like, what the hell is happening here? But this time I was like, okay. They had the moment at karaoke on Misaki's birthday or whatever, where they have a conversation about Aoi actually liking Misaki.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess the other, like, really big moment that still sticks out is Aoi being mad that his voice is changing because then he can't cross-dress and be internet idol as easily.
Right.
And Honaka's like, no, look at these older male models who blur gender lines or whatever. Like, you're just being really narrow-minded.
Yeah.
So, like, those are their two, like, moments that I remember, the other ones.
I feel like they ended up together because they are both, like, the mean characters, but...
They are the mean characters!
But I still don't like it.
That's fair.
Creepy.
I have to do say that Aoi has the best line, which is, Aoi transcends gender.
He's the best. He's great.
I also did like when Sakura was defending Misaki's femininity. No, it wasn't at that moment. It was some other moment because I'm thinking of a different line. Sakura is like, gender doesn't matter when it comes to love. And I'm like, yes, Sakura, thank you.
She's great.
Y'all are being great. I guess you want to... Do we consider Kano and Yukimura a real ship? Because clearly Fujiwara is like, I don't want to say that they're gay, but also, like, I want to heavily imply that that's true.
I feel like Yukimura is straight, though.
Really?
Yeah.
But do you feel Kano is not? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I feel that Kano is gay. That's my headcanon.
All right. I'll accept it. At the end of this series, in the final chapter, it is said that they live together. Which is why I'm like, are they a real couple? But
they're a real couple.
Of course, it's played couple. Off to be as like, no, we just live together because we're friends and one of us is poor.
Like, yeah, I don't believe that for a second.
I don't believe that for a hot second. Oh, goodness.
Which one of them is poor?
I think Kano's poor.
Really?
That's what was said.
Huh.
I'm pretty sure. We both just read this. Why can't we remember?
Well, I don't know because I was speeding through here, at the speed of light.
I will hurriedly look. Yep, we're gonna fact check.
Where is he?
Oh, wait. Was the implication that this dude that Hinata runs into at the wedding when he gets a little lost
is Usui's father, dad. Right? Yeah, okay.
You know, everything's confusing. Okay. You live together. Yeah, it turned out to be the way to go. Kano is like family to me. Kano only works part-time, so he didn't think he could swing it financially, but since we live together, it's not like he needs money for food or anything, is what Yukimura says.
All right. That doesn't read to me as a couple thing.
They're a couple. Shut up.
They're a couple in my heart.
Okay.
But I think Yukimura is straight.
Poor Yukimura. Anyway. And then I guess Tora has his arranged marriage girl.
Yeah. What's her name? Chiyo?
I have no idea what her name is.
I think it's Chiyo. You can take
she
my word
for that. She is
there
for literally two pages.
Yep. She deserved better, too.
Wow. How do you really feel about Tora? Tell me more.
Well.
He's not your favorite character?
He is not.
Okay, so is there anybody that we wish was a real ship? Obviously, we have a lot of ships that we're like, that should not have been a real ship.
Oh, yes, I do. Aoi and, you know, what's his name? Goki?
The Arak. Arataka, the delinquent guy,
Shiroyan's, yeah, that would have been cute. Don't tell me that wouldn't have been cute.
I don't see it, but okay.
They went to the same school.
They did go to,
and they were both weird loners, and Goki likes cute.
That's true. He definitely likes cute things. All right, you've sold me.
All right, sold. All right. They would have been cute. Definitely better than Honoka. Less creepy.
Yeah. Again, Sakura X anybody better than Kuga? Like, literally. Like, should have been a thing.
Oh, yeah. Sakura and Yukimura would have been cute.
No!
What's wrong with that?
No, I don't accept that.
Why?
Yukimura is not good enough for Sakura.
What's wrong with Yukimura?
No, they'd both be, they're too, they'd never survive in the world.
They have such cute babies, though.
Yeah, and then they wouldn't be able to protect them at all.
You're so Misaki.
I know I am. Oh, that's why I love Misaki.
I know.
All right, themes time.
Wait,
stop gushing is that
all the ships?
I think that's all the real ships, right?
Is that all the wish fulfillment ships?
I mean, yeah, I don't really have strong feelings about many of these side characters, to be honest.
Yeah. Did Shizuko end up with Shogi Captain Guy?
See, I thought that was a thing, but I don't remember it being in the
epilogue. Oh, there she is.
She's there.
She's there, but she doesn't have a plus one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like she, after she saw him without his glasses, she never talked about him again.
I know, right? That plot was so weird.
They were cute together. Why did that have to happen? Fujiwara, you let us down.
I don't know. I love Maid-sama so much, but I can't explain its madnesses to you. Like, it's not possible. It's just all a mess.
Amen.
All right. Now we will talk about themes. First.
You okay?
I can say words. First theme, as we promised in the previous episode that we would hold off to talk about now, is social class.
Yay!
Yay! And we alluded to this will be a fun discussion because of Asher and mine's personal stories are...
Very okay, different.
Like, Asher is, as he said, more Miyabi-ga-oka, and I'm more Seika. But we met at a snobby Ivy League school.
Yes. We're snobs. Yeah.
But obviously, given our relative backgrounds, we had different expectations and actual experiences within the Ivy League school.
One would think so, yes.
Yes. So I'm Misaki and Asher is basically Usui. That's what we're trying to say here.
Oh, I don't know how to feel about that.
What does that mean? You don't want to be a sexually perverted alien?
No, I really don't. It was never, right. Never my life goal.
Oh, fine. You're Usui minus that part of him.
Great. I'll accept that.
Or you could be Tora. Is that
no.
better? Nope, exactly.
I'd rather be Usui.
There we go. So, I mean, I believe Asher last time contested that Maid-sama is not a good portrayal of social class conflicts. Would you like to still back up that statement?
It's good at social class conflicts. I don't think it's good at portraying the wealthy class.
In what ways? Defend your class.
Well, I'm not the best spokesman for the upper middle class. I tend not to notice these sorts of things. So maybe these things do go on and I'm just not aware of it. But like, I always hate this trope. It comes up here. It comes up in almost exactly the same way in Ouran. It comes up in other manga I've read that I can't think of right now. But like the brown nosing and like the blatant everything being about money and power and connections, like I have never ever seen that ever anywhere.
Really? Even at Brown though?
Yeah, I don't remember seeing that. I didn't go anywhere, I guess.
Yes, I think the issue is that Asher and I are not the type, like, we went to this school and we're like, okay, we're gonna sit in our rooms. And I was at least on the drug-free floor because I chose to be. Did you choose
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Okay, you chose that?
Woo! I chose that.
I know that there were people on our floor that were like, I did not choose this.
Yeah.
This is garbage.
And I felt a little bad for them.
Yeah. Anyway, so yes, so we're not the best at doing the snobby things that we were supposed to do, but I feel like, okay, at least in my experience, having worked at the newspaper, I definitely feel like that was the experience there.
Really?
Huh. At certain things. Like, yeah, they had an end of the year party. I think I went to it at least once, perhaps twice, but it was like in a fancy hotel. We were all supposed to get dressed up, be drinking, and like I was like, I don't want any of this life. And then I just felt like generally, you know, the events that we were like more intimate lectures and stuff, it's very clearly you're supposed to like listen to smart people and then like get champagne and like stand around and talk about whatever smart people talk about.
Huh.
And I was like, ugh.
Those are your exact words on the subject,
I
mean, I'm sure.
I think I mostly just left. Whatever.
Huh.
Yeah, so I actually think that, I mean, obviously all of Maid-sama is an over, like, it's a comedy, so it's over dramatizing the silliness that happens. But I actually, again, I really relate to Misaki because I'm like, no, this is my struggle. And it actually really bothers me that in the end, you know, she goes off to college and, like, her life is, like, you don't get to see the more important part of the struggle except in the stuff that she's doing with Tora initially, which is her being like, oh, mm-hmm. my God, this is so hard. I mm-hmm. didn't realize these things. Like, I really am from a different class. And, like, it makes you, like, think weird things. And you're like, oh, my God. Like, my life is confusing now.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, it kind of skips that. And then the one line, Tora has a line where I was like, yes. Now we're just talking about aristocracy versus meritocracy, which is him basically being like, I think it's before he's trying to teach her to dance or something. Or he's like, dance with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, well, you only ever could, like, measure yourself based on merit or something to Misaki.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes. And then that reminded me of this article that I had read. It's actually, it got turned into a book that he wrote several years later. But it was already an old article when I read it back in 2013 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I had read it at work at Byliner. And when I read it, I was like, this hits me so hard. And it's called Lost in the Meritocracy. It's by Walter, I don't know how to say, K-I-R-N. Is that supposed to be Kern? Why is it not an E? Is it Kiern? I don't know. I hate words. Anyway, whatever. He wrote Up in the Air. I think that would be the most recognizable title that he's written because that was turned into a movie. So this book, it is a book, but this article is like, Lost in the Meritocracy, How I Traded an Education for a Ticket to the Ruling Class, which is both a condemnation of the meritocracy and the aristocracy, which is great. I love it. It's basically the author, you know, went to Princeton. I think it's from his experiences in the 80s. And, like, reading some of the passages, I was like, Maid-sama does not seem so crazy, like, after having read that. Because it's like, he is, you know, he's the Misaki. He's like, I worked really hard. And then I got into Princeton. Mm-hmm. I did all the things that they told me I was supposed to do. I got a good SAT score. I did well in school. I won some fancy contests. Like, he wins, like, a poetry contest or something. You know, like, all those dumb things that you're supposed to do.
Right. Sure.
So then he goes to Princeton, and he gets paired with all these snobby roommates. They buy a bunch of furniture for, like, their common room and all these things. And then they come to him, and they're like, okay, so we bought all this furniture. Like, you owe us $500. And he's like, well, what? No, I did not agree to this. Like, you didn't ask me. It's not my stuff. You bought it. Like, so then they all have a big meeting together. And then the conclusion of that meeting is that he is not allowed to touch anything in the room.
What?
Because he did not pay anything.
What?
Yes. To be fair, given that this is the 80s, one, that means $500 is a lot more money than what it is today.
Yeah, but jeez.
Two, that means it's before all the snob schools even tried to really actively court lower income people, because now they have all the initiatives to, like, pay for mm-hmm. most of the costs.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think that this story is far-fetched. Three, he went to Princeton, and I know that all the Princeton people are snobs. Why would you choose Princeton? Princeton is the worst.
Wow.
But yeah, so, like, it's basically a condemnation of, like, yes, Misaki's a hard worker, but, like, and I feel this too. Like, I worked really hard to just, like, you're always working hard just to get to the next thing, to do that challenge, to get to the next thing in the hope that in the end that gets you somewhere cool. Like, I don't even know what the end goal actually is mm-hmm. anymore. Like, I can't even remember. But it was like, yeah, in high school, I'm like, okay, I want to go to a good college, so, like, I'm going to do these things. Right. So I did all those things, but then, like, in the end, that just means our education system, like, it's a big debate now of, like, the SATs and stuff don't measure how smart you are. It just measures how much you, like, memorize to do a test and how well you can take a test, you know?
Like, right. Yeah.
So his argument is that, like, all that merit-based stuff, like, doesn't actually
teach you how to learn anything. I kind of feel like that's actually what Misaki going to Miyabi-Gaoka to seek English and stuff proved, because I believe the implication was that she had at least been studying English that whole time. And like, but clearly she wasn't very good at it, which is like actually what happens with most high school language programs, at least in public schools. So I was like, yeah, exactly. But then of course the reverse is like, obviously these aristocratic people are assholes. Like, and they don't deserve anything that they have anyway. So like,
yeah,
it's just fun to like,
so much fun,
see criticisms of that and be like, these things are not as far-fetched as you want them to be.
That may be true, yeah.
And I think with meritocracy, it's also like, you know, because that's kind of held up as the thing that everybody wants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even with current political and stuff kerfuffles, like the Google manifesto, like that guy is basically being like, why don't we just have a meritocracy? And it's like, because meritocracies don't just exist. Like, that's not a thing. It's not like, oh, we shouldn't have programs that specifically target women because that means it's not a meritocracy. It's like, no, you have the programs that help women because the natural state of things is not a meritocracy.
Like, right, right.
The whole point is that you are biased against women.
Right.
And it's not based on their merit. Like, anyway, so yes. And I guess you had pointed out earlier that the opposite of a meritocracy would probably be nepotism.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like, you know, in a true meritocracy, there shouldn't be nepotism.
Right.
But in an aristocracy, I believe, plenty of nepotism.
So yes, that is sort of the definition.
Displayed by Tora and Maki and everybody trying to be Tora's friend.
Yep.
In Maid-sama. I'm kind of tempted to read the bit from the article about the, like, campus prince guy just because it was so weird and funny. That,
I did not realize it was, like, from a real, like, someone's real experiences until you
that
told me.
That's real life!
Yeah, I didn't realize that until you told me. It does not sound like a real life thing.
I mean, obviously he's a writer, so he's doing, like, probably dramatization too, but, like,
it reads like a fanfic.
Even more reason to read it. It's kind of long. I still think it's funny. I think people need to know that this is, like, real life. And then this is what Asher thinks is, it sounds like fan fiction, apparently. But again, it is from, it's about a real guy who went to Princeton in the 80s. His actual experiences. It's a book. I really want to read the book now. 200 pages of this nonsense. So, I mean, the basic premise is, you know, he went to Princeton. He was very, like, not prepared for it. He's never, like, actually read a book, apparently, or anything. He's just, like, posing all the way through. Starts experimenting with drugs, blah, blah, blah. So, of course, he's having breakdowns.
Oh, my God.
I also kind of, like, had breakdowns in college from similar thing. Not with drugs, though.
I was going to be like, I know you didn't do drugs.
I didn't do drugs. I just was very sad. But, yeah, so this bit begins. My breakdown climaxed with a strange prank that could have been taken straight from a bad novel about a collegiate social Darwinism. See, he admits it's from a bad novel. I was flying on acid in the Terrace Club library, with a couple of visual arts majors who were trying their hands at Pollock-style, quote-unquote, action painting, when in walked Leslie, a handsome blonde campus prince, the descendant of a legendary industrialist, whom I knew from our vicious little theater scene, but had never felt worthy of engaging in conversation.
Oh my God.
Asher's having so much fun right now. Walter, may I talk to you, he said. I was astonished that he knew my name. I followed him outside to his car, a new European sports coupe with leather seats, where he asked me to help him with a quote-unquote trust experiment related to his sociology thesis. Because of course.
Oh my God.
He couldn't describe the experiment, he said, because it might prejudice the results. And I didn't press him. I was glad.
Should have.
I know, right? He was flying on acid. He doesn't know what's going on. This was the social break I'd waited years for. Leslie started the car as I buckled in next to him. His instructions were simple. don't speak and don't resist. Well, then he blindfolded me with a strip of fuzzy dark cloth. He turned on a Laurie Anderson tape, Full Blast, a gale of futuristic electronica that made me ashamed of my top 40 tastes, and drove without stopping for what seemed like an hour, ending up on a bumpy stretch of road, and I took to be, I can't read, and that I took to be rural and remote. At some point, my blindfold loosened and slipped down, and I, what is this word? Resecured it without being asked. I work at a book company, and I reading's
hard. You've never read a book either, have you?
I've definitely read a book. I definitely value authenticity in a way that actually is the thing that keeps me back. That's we'll get to that after I'm done with this passage.
Oh, boy. Talk about everything today.
Talk about everything today. I'm going to give you real hard life lessons. The car stopped moving. Leslie got out, walked around to my side, opened the door, set his hands on my shoulders, and marched me forward across an expanse of spongy, uneven earth. He halted and commanded me to kneel, urging me down by pressing on my skull. He does
read like fanfiction. Actually, it sounds like 50 Shades of Grey.
It's 50 Shades of Grey, guys. It is way better written than 50 Shades of Grey, I have to tell you. That's one of the books I've read. See, I'm great. I suspected by then that I'd been lured into a sadistic hazing ritual. Wouldn't be surprised, to be honest. But instead of lashing out or fleeing, I fantasized about the sort of club that I'd been deemed worthy of auditioning for. Remove the blindfold, Leslie said. When I raised my dazzled eyes, I saw, about 50 yards in front of me, surrounded by stately trees, an actual castle with countless tall windows and pediments and columns. In the center of its crescent driveway stood an enormous dry fountain of leaping cupids. My family's estate, Leslie said. Behold, poor serf. Behold a power you will never know.
I absolutely believe a college freshman said that.
Yeah.
100%.
With that, he ran back to his car and drove away. What a jerk. I don't think the next paragraph's important. That's a true story, as far as I understand this. This is what happens at Ivy League colleges, like...
Oh, I believe that.
100%.
I could believe that happening at Brown.
It's so true. Yeah, so, like, I actually totally buy that, like, Miyagi Yugaoka is, like, actually fairly accurate. And I feel like those type of things are not, you know, like... They're very reminiscent of what Tora actually does to Misaki and how Misaki would be like naively go along with that for it's basically the helicopter thing.
Like, I guess.
You don't think so?
None of that happened at my school.
None of that happened at your high school.
Well, actually, I'm thinking about it now and wondering if that is an accurate statement to make about my high school.
I was about to say, you wanna throw that down?
Not really.
But yes, as I interjected, I was certainly a person who just did what I was told in school, and partially I have come to regret that in certain aspects, like with the violin. I've recently tried to pick up the violin again with the expectation that I would not just play classical music or folk music, but that I would play songs I actually care about, which are all things that I was derided as being quote-unquote beneath me by, like, my violin teacher and stuff, which I actually really liked my violin teacher. I'm just saying that she didn't, like, quite motivate me to do my own thing, which is, and I was not assertive enough to do my own thing, so I just did whatever I was told.
Right, I think many of us have had that experience.
Right, and with books, I certainly read what I was told, but also read other things, and I try to maintain my personal authenticity of things that I do or do not like. However, existing in the real world of snobs and book reviews and things, I can tell you that it is not a very authentic world.
Yes.
And reviewers will readily, perhaps not readily, but they will admit to you that they only read parts of things and that maybe they didn't like it as much as they said they did in their book reviews. The gasp!
People do things like that?
dare they? But I mean, there are certainly things at my job where, like, I work in, I'm part of a marketing team, and there are things that I am unwilling to do as a marketer because I just don't think that they're, like, moral. That, like, that's gonna hold you back in life, and I'm like, I accept that. I'm just like, cool. Like, I don't want to get ahead if that's, like, what it means.
That's why you're the best.
And, like, you can live life that way. Like, you should just know that it will, like, hold you back. And the guy who loves beauty and maid-sama, like, he's not wrong. Like, beautiful people get ahead in life. I think it's stupid to have to buy a makeup. That's my own personal opinion. I'm Misaki. I'm with Misaki on this. That's a waste of money. But, like, Misaki comes around in the end, you see.
Well, it suits the purpose.
It suits the purpose, exactly.
Yeah.
So you gotta live with those things. Like, sad.
Yeah.
I guess the other theme I had was East versus West, because there's a lot of
that.
Butlers and maids, and
oh my,
I don't know what to say about it other than, like, its portrayal of the West is only of snobby West, so it's like,
yeah,
kind of hard to relate to. And well, it's fun in the moments where they go to a maid cafe and they're like, but this is not supposed to be Japanese, like, why is there Japanese food here? And I'm like, I'm just so confused. Okay.
Yeah.
But you wanted to talk about butlers.
I did?
I thought you wanted to talk about Seti and...
Well, that was more about power, I think, and sort of... It ties into the way they were... Like, the weird... Those guys will do anything. Anything.
Oh, and Maki, right.
Yeah.
Maki and Tora's girl.
Right. Maybe not Tora's girl so much. She's not that important. I don't... Why does she
exist?
You don't
know enough about her.
I don't know.
He needs a girl.
I guess.
People can't all have Misaki. I mean, they could. I'd believe that's fine. Polyamory all over the place, but, like...
I don't know if she'd be okay with that.
Oh, no. Misaki is a monogamy type.
Yeah.
But so you think they're willing to do anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Maki is, for sure.
Maki started to confuse me. I was very, like... What were his motivations? Why was he telling Usui things? Why is he so good at drawing?
There's no explanation for that part. I mean, why is Usui so good at everything? Like, there's no explanation for this. And then, I mean, I don't have an explanation for Maki yet. I'm still formulating this thought. But Cedric, too. He dressed as a ninja and only said nin-nin for, like...
Wait, that was great, though.
Yeah, but,
one of the best parts.
He didn't have to do that.
He didn't, but Gerald told him to.
Right. And, like, nobody was going to report on him if he didn't do it. Gerald was in England.
Yep.
I remember having the feeling when I was reading the Bad Scanlation back in the day when I was a pirate. Like, I got the very strong impression that he was into Gerald.
Really?
Yeah. And there's just this really just... And it's... You know, inherent in maid-sama as a concept, like, from its premise, there's an awkward, insurmountable power dynamic in every relationship.
Yes.
Every single one. And it
love
never...
Love conquers all, Asher.
It's not even that. In a way, it's sort of fetishized.
Yeah.
I say sort of. Like, no, it literally is...
I mean, it's definitely all about fetishes.
That's a whole point of a maid cafe.
Yeah.
But, like, that actual power dynamic thing is romanticized in this. And it's icky.
I mean, it is icky. It's, like, it's both fetishized, but maid-sama is also, like, pretty devoid of anything actually sexy. For something that is so... fetishize. Oh, you don't think so? I mean, aside from some choice characters.
Well, those choice characters are there.
They are, but they're not the focus. Also, Tora kissing Misaki was, what are you doing, Tora? Get the hell out of here.
Yes. This is not a good time for anybody.
Didn't need to be there.
did not contribute anything.
It's true. It didn't contribute to anybody's anything.
Nope.
We already knew Tora liked her, and we knew that Usui hated it. And then Misaki hated it.
Yep. It's frustrating.
I love you, Maid-sama, but why? Why? It's only because I personally project so much on
Yeah.
So much projection. I guess we can have a gender reprise.
Oh, God. Like, where do we even begin?
Oh, well, I don't know. Where do you want to begin?
I don't know.
Misaki. I mean, I'm trying to decide if I like Maid-sama's portrayal of gender.
No.
It's just so hard because of... Whoa, okay.
I don't think
it's... It's not a hard no. It's not... I mean, there's so many different characters, and they're all so jumbled. I certainly think it's fun that Misaki comes to learn that bridging her personalities is better together with her crazy dude side and being a maid, being into girly things.
Okay.
But, I guess everything else about gender is pretty garbage.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to think about Aoi's transformation into anything. I feel like that's not really given enough time to be a... He just seems like a dude who likes to design clothes at the end, I guess. Obviously, Tora and Usui are very alpha male-y.
Yeah.
Everybody else is kind of girly. Sakura is extremely girly.
Are you calling Hinata girly? Because I think there's basically two types of men in this. There's the Hinata type and there's the Usui type. And then there's girls.
And then there's Yukimura? Like, wait. Yeah. Where's Yukimura go in this?
Yukimura goes in the girl category. Okay. Kano goes in the Usui category.
Kano goes in the Usui category.
I believe so.
I'm lost. Please explain yourself.
I mean, of the two, I wouldn't call him a Hinata type.
Okay, explain the Hinata type.
Hinata type is Hinata, Mr. Aizawa. They may be the only two examples. Well, no, and then like all the random dudes. The three idiots.
What is their defining characteristics? That they're nice?
Yeah, pretty much.
That they don't alpha male all over the place. They don't grab girls and then literally rip them away from other men.
God, it's so annoying, actually. Maid-sama, why?
Shoujo manga, why?
Why did you drag me back into this hell?
No, come on. You like some of it.
I do.
We can't talk about shoujo manga without it being heavily problematic.
It's true, we cannot.
Yeah, there's far too much sexual harassment that Misaki allows to happen.
Oh my god.
What was it? The moment, it was very early on in these volumes that we read. And it's, I forget what was happening. Oh, I guess it was all the Seika students go, or the student council members go to Miyabioka to meet with their student council.
Mm-hmm.
For, I don't even remember the reason why, because they're near each other and their student councils. I don't know. Anyway.
I think it was part of Tora's ploy to get to know Misaki at this point.
Right. So, like, when he's alone with Misaki and they're in, like, the traditional tea ceremony area,
mm-hmm.
he keeps, like, slapping her. But I was like, what is he doing? Like, why is Misaki not doing anything about this? I was very confused.
This was at the tea ceremony?
At, like, when Tora's giving her tea, like, they're alone.
Mm-hmm.
But he's serving her tea.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other students have gone off to the large dining hall. And then when they enter, Misaki's like, oh, my God, nobody's eating anything.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. But there's a moment where I think Tora's trying to warn Misaki about Usui or something. Mm-hmm. And so they're talking privately. Mm-hmm. And he keeps being like, you're dumb. And he keeps either like hitting behind her knees or like her butt or whatever.
He's hitting her legs because they fell asleep from sitting Seiza.
Oh. I'm still like, Misaki, why don't you hit him back? I don't understand. Yeah. The other one that I really hated was way back in the day at the beach when Usui like gives Misaki a hickey. I'm like, no, Misaki, you really should not accept this.
Yeah.
It's frustrating because it just feels like Misaki either does not react for whatever strange, stupid reason, or reacts far too slowly, which is just out of character, which I don't understand. Boo. Boo, Maid-sama, boo.
Agreed.
And I guess the only other thing I really wanted to talk about was all their costume changes. And do you have favorite ones?
Oh, I really liked the samurai one, naturally.
The one where she looked like Rurouni Kenshin?
Yeah. I'm a man of simple tastes, simple and obvious tastes. God. There were some really good ones, but like I read it all so fast. I don't really remember. Read it
all so fast.
Yeah.
It's true. I think I basically learned that I like Misaki with her hair up, was basically what I learned out of all those costume changes.
There were some good ones.
I liked Teacher Misaki. I liked Different Maid Outfits Misaki. I didn't appreciate Pirate Misaki. I was like, no, I'm not into that. What I also learned is that I like Usui when he's wearing black. I'm not ashamed of this.
You shouldn't be ashamed. What's to be ashamed of?
Oh, I loved when they dressed up as doctors together or whatever. Usui was a doctor and Misaki was a nurse. I regret nothing.
Oh, you liked that, huh?
I did. I am a terrible person. I'm 27 years old. Again, it was easier when we were like 19.
They did look significantly older in these later volumes. Like, they did not look very small.
Right, especially anymore. When they were getting dressed up. I was like, all right, you're definitely trying to age them up.
Yeah.
Because you want it to be less creepy, I guess?
I don't know.
Well, as soon as it was like, yeah, Misaki's trying to turn into a refined young lady, and started to have a little turnaround in the art. That's how I feel.
All right.
I mean, it was generally just, you know, the art gets better as it goes along.
That too.
Except Fujiwara does not know how to lay out pages, but that's whatever. Fine. Cool beans. Trying to remember, do I have any other favorite costumes? I wrote them all in my really bad handwriting on the bus. Yeah, so that's not helpful. Are these even words? Like, who knows? I always love cross-dressing Misaki, so Butler Misaki.
Yes, naturally.
Naturally, so good. Which she did at Usui's weird Miyabigaoka birthday party.
Right, that was some good times.
Was it?
No.
Of course Usui notices.
He's naturally.
Usui. Yeah, so this was Maid-sama. How do we feel in the end?
For all its problems, it really is still an enjoyable read. I do wish it would lay off on the sexual harassment, because like even when Usui gets better, other characters sort of take up the mantle.
Tora's like, I'm here, what's up?
He's ready to party.
He's so ready to be so Tora.
God, what a schmuck.
I agree. For all the things where I'm like, this is intellectually so bad. Emotionally, I'm like probably smiling like a doofus at all the things that I really like, which is, again, definitely Hot Springs, Confessions of Love, Misaki's face. Just like, I don't know.
You're such a sap.
I am a sap. It's really bad. So again, this is one of my favorite manga. Yeah. I would say it's actually my favorite manga. I don't know.
Really?
I guess for a while it competed with Genbu Kaiden.
Mm.
Shigi Yugi. I can't. It's too hard. Genbu Kaiden. I look forward to revisiting that. I'm kind of curious now to read Oran again. Because I never really put Maid-sama and Oran together, even though that kind of makes sense.
They have a lot of themes in common.
Yeah. But their tone. No, they're both comedies. I don't know.
They are both
something
comedies.
There's something about Oran that comes off very differently. Far less sexual harassment.
They're, well.
Well. Did I just block that all out?
Oh, there's not as much as in Maid-sama, for sure. But there's still the awkward Haruhi's coming from a very different socioeconomic place and is put in a position of servitude.
Yeah.
It's not great.
All those things are so fun, aren't they?
So much fun.
All right. So I guess that's all we have to say about the maids and the samas. And the Usui's. He's a perverted alien. He definitely lives up to that, unfortunately.
Yep. Although it was nice when he came back to his real self, even though it involved, you know, coming back to his real self.
I don't get that you actually like that, but...
No, I love Usui.
I love Usui too. Again, particularly when he's wearing black.
It's such a strange...
I guess, one of the back covers is one of the spreads where he's wearing black, and I'm like, that's hot. I'm weird. I accept it.
It's not weird. It's such a specific thing.
Black button-down shirts, they make lots of people look sexy. That's what I've learned in life.
It's a valuable lesson.
See, another life lesson. Get a black button-down shirt, you'll look sexy. That's real basic.
There may be more to it than that.
No, not really. I mean, just make sure it, like, fits you okay, but, like, yeah. Leave one of the buttons unbuttoned. Or wear a tie. Ties are hot, too.
I'm taking copious notes right now. I know.
Good. If you're not wearing a black button-down shirt with a tie next time I see you, I'll know you didn't listen.
I can almost completely assure you I will not be wearing a black button.
Gosh darn it! Whatever. Let's outro this crap. Thanks for listening to Shoujo and Tell. Comments, questions, constructive criticism, concerns, need to gush about your OTP, want to tell us what you love or do not love about Maid-sama? Email shoujoandtell@gmail.com or leave a comment on the website, which I don't actually know if I'll have, if comments will be possible, on shoujoandtell.com. This is the problem with doing one thing far in the future. You can tweet us at shoujoandtell on Twitter or follow at shoujoandtell on Facebook. You can do those. You can leave comments there. Those are real. This is a new podcast, so it'd be great if you could leave a review on iTunes or wherever else. Reviews are able. Stitcher, I don't know, is that a thing? I don't know.
What?
Asher's like, I don't even know what that is. It's a thing. This will help the podcast reach more hearts, or at least ears. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next time with something unnamed fourth series that I don't know what it will be yet. More shoujo manga. Yay.
Until then, bye.